Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mom's Got This. It is season three. I'm Michelle Park.
Hi, everybody. I'm Stacey Eagle. We're so excited to be back. And Michelle, it's great to see you again.
It's great to see you, too, although I've seen you in between. But we did take a little break because we were kind of reassessing the show and thinking about what you guys really wanted to hear. And so we've changed the format, which I'm sure you realize because this first episode came out on a Thursday.
Yes, it's on a Thursday. We really took like a look at what people were loving from, I think we've done like 160 plus episodes, and we realized that you love stories about aspirations and moments, and that really was what we loved sharing. So we are giving you a lot more of that this season.
And we're going to stop breaking the show up into four episodes. So it will be 1 hour. You can listen to it 4 days in a row if you want to in 15-minute segments. But, you know, we kind of felt that we can get deeper with our guests. We can also spend some time talking to you guys, just me and Stacey, so you can hear a little bit more about our motherhood journeys as well. And I think that this season, we really want to hear from you. I want to hear the stories that you guys have that have been surprising or that have been challenging, things that have happened with your kids that have kind of made you take a different look at your life.
Yeah, I think from our perspective, talking to each other about our experiences and learning from our guests, we really want to dive into, you know, some of the struggles that we go through. Sometimes you didn't get that always on our other episodes. I mean, you've got a lot of moments, but I think this will be a time to really share our highs and lows. Yeah. and have you tell us what you're going through as a new mom or a mom of three or four.
This episode is brought to you by Super Soccer Stars, New York City's number one youth educational soccer program for over 20 years. Super Soccer Stars teaches soccer in a fun, non-competitive educational environment. The philosophy is to use soccer to nurture physical and social skills, build self-confidence, and develop teamwork in every class.
What makes Super Soccer Stars different from other programs? Well, Michelle, Dylan has been in Super Soccer Stars since he was, I think, a year and a half.
Oh my gosh. It's,
I know, and I can't wait for you to try it out with baby M and baby E.
I know, they're gonna love it.
And he's actually been, you know, he's five now, so he's been through 1.5 to age five. And what's incredible about it is that there's a low kid to coach ratio to ensure that each child gets individual attention in every class. He really has gotten that attention in class, and we've had these incredible teachers who all go through intense training to be teachers for young, we're talking about little toddlers here. And I've watched him just really grow from being a kid who didn't necessarily kick the ball like right away, and now being in the playground with his friends and being really confident.
Oh, that's great.
And it's amazing. And so I also learned as I'm going through the process of him being in other classes that it actually goes up to age 18.
Oh, so he can be a super soccer star pretty much for his entire
like
young life.
Up until college.
You can be a soccer mom. You can,
I might become a soccer mom. I think I am a soccer mom. And I've met some soccer moms at Super Soccer Stars. And so it's really cool because they coined the term crib to college. And I think that's like such a beautiful piece of what it really is.
And if you guys want to hear more and you're in the New York City area, you can stop by the Super Soccer Stars Center grand reopening. It's from 2:30 to 5:30 on Sunday, March 15th at 606 Columbus Avenue. You can also visit their Facebook page for more. Yeah, we were made from Stacey, so I've been thinking a lot about motherhood, kind of preparing for this season. And I think the most amazing thing to me is that, you know, you kind of go about your college years and then your young life as a young adult, and you're like so wrapped up in yourself and what you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And like you make your friends, you don't really make new friends. And then suddenly this thing happens when you become a mom, and whether you're like me or somebody who's a rocket scientist or somebody who's like some great artist, we're all kind of brought back
to the beginning phases of our life.
To zero, right? Kind of back to, like, I really felt like after I had Madeline, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. You know, like, nobody really teaches you about things like, oh, she has a fever, I would freak out. Now with my second baby, if she has a fever, I'm like, it's okay, it'll pass. Like, I just give her Tylenol, whatever. But there are all these little things that happen, which is why I think our podcast is so unique and powerful and interesting.
I do too. And I think, you know, we talked about how we're changing our format this season, but even from the seasons we've had, there are points and moments that we learned our own lessons from different guests that we had. And I think, like, to your point, you know, I just, like, texted friends when Dylan got his first fever, because I didn't know there were places, there are places to go. There's Facebook fan pages, you know, like these mommy groups, but you start over in the sense of, how do I do this?
Right. You're, like, literally learning from scratch. And I think that's something that we all have to keep in mind, because I remember just feeling completely lost and scared. And I know that there are lots of moms out there who feel the same way. And back, like, centuries ago, or even, like, maybe 30 years ago, you had a village, right? You had, like, people around you who were going to help you through this process. But now, because of the world that we live in, it's just kind of you, right?
See, I think that it's you, but the village is those mom friends that you eventually meet along the way.
But in the beginning, but I did in the not beginning, have mom friends.
Yeah. Me either. Well, I had my friends who were moms from before. Yeah. And then I took a class maybe 3 or 4 months into him being a toddler or a baby. Yeah. And met my first mom friend who we had on here, Carolyn Tisch Lodgett. But that was like, I went to that class, met her, and then, like, went back to work. Right. Right. So it wasn't like I didn't have those groups where I went on, like, the stroller walks. And I think that's an amazing thing if you can do that. And part of me envies someone who built a tribe that they had the time to do that and they didn't work, right? So we, on this podcast, I always am talking from being a working mom and nonstop since the day he was born, and it's still working. But I still think that not being a working mom is just as amazing as being a working mom. Right.
Yeah, I think that no matter what you're working, it doesn't matter if you're not like working in an office. Like,
yes,
there is no stopping. Like, so there are days when I just feel like the day doesn't end, because I wake up and I put the kids together and then I, like, get myself together and then I go out the door and then I'm working all day and then I get home and I'm making it just, like, doesn't end.
Where is your time that you get your me time? Like, mine's in the shower.
I know. No, me too. I take like a 30-minute shower.
Me too. Every night.
Oh, you do it at night?
Yeah.
I like force Eric to watch the kids for 20 minutes in the morning. And I will stand in the shower and just, like, let the hot water wash over me. Because when else do you have
that silence, right?
Here's the thing. There's no locks on our bathroom. So the kids still come in. Totally. They're still like, and they're like, let me get in the bathtub. And I'm like, oh my God. But I think that it's pretty much universal that we are all just, like, trying to piece it together, right?
Right.
Like, how do you handle that other than your shower? Like, how do you kind of, do you decompress at all? Like,
I've been, you know, since we've been talking together, I go through different flows of when I can get that in my life. So there was a moment where I started to do Physique 57 for like 6 months, and I religiously went like twice a week, which I did before work.
For those of you who don't know, Physique 57 is like a very difficult bar workout.
It's like a yoga bar workout.
It's hard though.
It's hard.
But, yeah. But two times a week is hardcore.
It's hardcore, and I don't look like I'd look that time. But today I actually walked, it's 50 degrees in the city, and I walked to the pier. And I had to breathe, and I just sort of walked, looked at the water, and then went back and got ready and came down here, and I have meetings after this. So I find for myself, I have to take a moment to breathe. And sometimes that's on the subway and listening to a podcast or reading a book, or sometimes that's in a Via, you know, like, or walking to work, you know, or in the shower, or in the bathroom, you know, like there are different pockets of places. But I haven't found my consistent routine. I haven't gotten back to my consistent routine that I really am striving for.
Do you think that that's affected your like mental health in any way? Like, are you stressed out?
I have internal stress, and my internal stress goes to like my back and shoulders. And I actually have been going, I go when I feel it, when it's coming on, I go to the chiropractor slash healer. Mm-hmm. His name is Dr. Zev. I call him, but I forgot his last name. I will look it up if you guys want to hear it. I can DM you it. But he like cracks me and heals me, and it's like the best thing in the world. So if I'm answering the question you just asked me, do I find myself ever getting really stressed and breaking down and crying? There's definitely been a moment where I've gone to the bathroom and broken down, or in the shower, just from stresses from everything. Not necessarily Dylan.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's actually.
But it's just everything.
I think I let my stress out at my kids sometimes, which you're not supposed to do, but it's never them, right?
Right.
Like yes, it takes Madeline 25 minutes to pick out what she's going to wear in the morning. But that's not why I'm annoyed with her, right? It's not because she's a 4-year-old who just has a lot of interest in fashion. It's because there are 20 other things on my mind that I need to get done. And if she doesn't get dressed, I can't get to it.
So how do you, like, is there a way you can direct her and say, hey, tonight, this is what I've been doing, actually. So here's a tip for you. Like, let's plan your outfit out before you go to school.
We used to do that, and it never worked.
She changed the outfit.
She would change her, and she would say to me, Mommy, I'm allowed to change my mind. And I'm like, you're absolutely right.
It's true.
Change your mind. But can we not take 25 minutes to change your mind? Like, we don't need to try out 5 different things. But I think my current approach has been, I'm just going to calculate for the fact that it's going to take her that long. And she'll probably want to wear stuff that's seasonally inappropriate, or, you know, like, I'm like, you can't wear a bathing suit to school today. It's 29 degrees outside. But I mean, you know, I'm obviously learning through this process, right? And I'm learning a lot about myself, in that I never thought that I was this kind of like uptight, stay on a schedule kind of person. But the mornings really drive me crazy, because nobody listens. Nobody's ever on schedule. And like, I don't get a lot of help because Eric walks out the door really early, you know?
So how are you going to find that structure? Or you're learning how to implement it right now?
I think I'm learning how to, I mean, I think this is one of the big things about motherhood for me. I'm learning how to just like chill out for a second, right? Like, it's not the end of the world if she's 10 minutes late to school. It's right. Not the end of the world if I'm 10 minutes late to this podcast, you know? Like,
right.
It's not the end of the world if she goes to school in a bathing suit, as long as I put a sweater over it and some leggings, which is what we did last week.
That's very cute, though. A swimsuit can actually be like a leotard. And
yeah, but I was like, so you're going to take this whole thing off and pee every time you have to go pee in school? And she was like, Mommy, it's fine. I was like, okay. Like, I have to respect that you are an autonomous being, and you've now committed to taking your entire outfit off every time you have to go to the bathroom. Like, what else can I do about it?
Right. Now, for listeners who haven't heard episodes prior, Michelle had a second baby a year and a half ago. So the dynamic of your household has completely changed.
Yeah, it's like more stressful. I mean,
that's
like,
yeah. So having to say, I have one right now. So,
but do you remember what it was like when he was little? Like,
yeah,
it's. I think having a little one is so much harder because she needs so much attention.
Right. Right.
And it's not that she needs attention; it's that, because she needs attention, I feel even more stretched thin.
Because you want to give time to
Madeline, yeah.
To Madeline.
And to my husband, who is like fourth on the totem pole, right? It's like my kids, me, and then maybe Eric gets the remainder.
So do you feel a guilt that you're not giving time to Madeline?
I do. I will say, like, because the little one is just really cute. And
so cute.
And just,
but they're both so cute.
They're so cute, but like the little one doesn't give me any attitude. There's no sass in her, right? Like, I'm like, hey, go eat that pasta. She's like, okay. I say, Madeline, I made you pasta for her. And she's like, I don't eat that kind of pasta. Can you make me a different pasta? And I'm like, excuse me?
But she's doing that because that's her sister, right? She's sort of like.
No, she's so opinionated.
Really?
Like she's like, you can make me mac and cheese or you can make me chicken nuggets. And I was like, you can't eat that for lunch. That's not good for you, you know? Yeah.
Speaking of her, and just talking about my business for a second, Madeline, baby M, came to Fashion Week. looking like the pianist who was Chloe Flower, and they were like twinning with their tulle skirts, and it was the cutest thing ever. But she came, and so did Dylan, and they sat so beautifully.
Actually, what you missed was when we got there, he came over and he was like, is that baby M or baby E? I was like, that's baby M. But I was so impressed that he remembered, you know? Like, I thought it was really cute.
And we've like, our kids have been meeting each other recently at like different things, and now they like starting to know each other. But they were just like, I'm really proud of both of them because they sat through a whole Fashion Week show just like it's quiet. And like the video came back recently and I see them in the front row sitting, one with Brian, my husband, and you.
I want to see the video.
I'll send it to you. And they're just like so poised and like really, I think they both love music, and it was just really beautiful to see. And for me, it was Dylan's first show ever to attend in my career in terms of my own Fashion Week show. So it was like a crazy, surreal moment. But that, so I'm bringing it back to me over here, but let's go back to you.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, it's every stage is different.
Yeah.
Like this stage, I mean, they're like a year apart, so it's not exactly the same, but there's some beauty in them being 4 and 5 because they still want mommy and they still like want to spend time with us, but they have their own like personality and opinion fully.
Are they sleeping in their own room now?
No, everybody still sleeps with me.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Last night I, at 3 a.m, I like almost bludgeoned Eric over the head because he's supposed to be most of the time handling Eloise so that I can just sleep with Madeline.
Okay.
But she now can get out of the bed and run to the door. And I said, just keep her in the room. But at 3 a.m, he brought her into the room, woke me up, threw a diaper on top of me, was like, change her diaper, and left.
With baby...
No, he just left. He went to go sleep by himself.
So to explain to our listeners what's happening right now.
Yeah, so right now, so the girls have their own room.
Okay.
But currently, I sleep in Madeline's bed with her.
Okay, and Madeline's Eloise,
the older one. And Eloise sleeps with Eric, my husband, in our bed. And so on any given night, you have no idea who's sleeping where.
When are you going to break that away?
I actually don't think it's necessary. So this is like a big point of contention between moms. Like some people think that your kids should be in their own bed since like 3 months.
Which is what I've done.
Right. Yeah. But I, you know, I obviously am Asian. I come from an Asian background where people co-sleep till they're 7 or 8.
For your life with Eric, do you guys make special dates to be together, have weekends away together? Like if you're co-sleeping, can you ever travel and go away?
So we just went to New Orleans a couple weeks ago, but it's not like something that happens often. We definitely have date night, but I think that you just have to get more creative when you have all the kids in the bed. Like you're definitely not.
You probably know that.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting down in the bed.
No.
But
like if you went away for a week and a child's co-sleeping with you, what happens?
So I've never been gone for a week. I've been gone for like 3 days, and generally they'll sleep with Eric if he's home, or they'll sleep with my mom, or they'll sleep with my nanny. I mean, whoever is around, they'll be on top of that person because they're so used to being next to somebody.
Right, of course.
But if you think about it, like when they're really little, so when they were in your belly, they heard your heartbeat the whole time. They heard your voice the whole time. So when they're out of your body, they still want to hear your heartbeat. They still want to feel close to you. They still want to feel that warmth. So when she was really tiny, when both of them were really tiny, I slept with them on me. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was I didn't have it in myself to stop that because I grew up co-sleeping. So I think
until what age were you co-sleeping?
Probably like 5. But I think we were always 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Eric and I both. We hired a sleep consultant. We did all this other stuff to try to get them out of our bed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think deep down we were ever actually ready to do it.
Yeah.
So I've just kind of embraced it. Sure, it's annoying. I don't get a great night of sleep. But aren't I going to miss like these moments later on? Probably. Like I like that they're all snuggling and they're just like all over me and they wake me up in the morning. And, you know, it's nice.
I mean, it's a beautiful thing. I think for me, I would love to do that, but I knew that my lifestyle couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But we still, like, he cuddles in the morning. The one thing that he's been doing for a long time, maybe the past, like, 9 months is like they'll be a mommy at like 6:37 to go to the bathroom. Like he's still not like he could go to the bathroom by himself, but he's still calling for me or my husband.
Is he like scared of the?
I think he's like wants us to come and get him.
Yeah.
And
he's still a baby.
Because he's still yeah. And to me, I'm like I thought about this today coming here. When is that? I'm going to be really sad when he doesn't call for me.
Yeah, because somebody said this to me. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, every single thing that happens, it could be the last time it happens, yeah, right? So like, like tonight could be the last time she wants to sleep in the bed with me.
Well, I was going to say, there's going to be a time where she's going to say, I want my own room.
Right. Oh, of course.
And then you're going to go call me and cry in the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, wait. Or like, you know, little things. Like, I still have to help her wash her hair. And like, one day she won't need me to wash her hair. And she'll be like, get out of the bathroom, Mom. And I'll be like, what do you mean? I've been here for bath time, like, since, you know, forever.
That's actually, Dylan, to talk about that, Dylan and I always would take showers with him. And most recently, I took a shower with him. And he's like, Mommy. Like, what's that? You know, but it was just like, oh no, is this the last time I'm taking a shower? Because I love this time with him, but yeah. It's sort of getting that part where you know, he's sort of divided up now. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I can still give him his bath, but like, I don't know. Let me know if anyone else is taking a shower with their son at this age.
And I think that's like totally dependent on what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. You know? Like, but it was like, he was so cute. He's like, what's that? Like, I'm like, oh God, do I need a wax?
This episode is brought to you by Super Soccer Stars, New York City's number one youth educational soccer program for the past 20 years. And you guys are all invited to the Soccer Stars Center grand reopening. It's happening at their Upper West Side location, Sunday, March 15th, 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. The address is 606 Columbus Avenue. You can also visit their Facebook page for more information and to RSVP. So I wanted to also talk today about like some of our biggest challenges as moms, because I think this is cool that we're doing this episode
with
no guests.
We
haven't done anything like this. And I feel like, you know, we kind of have gotten to know each other, Stacey, through like little snippets, but we haven't actually gotten to talk about our own journeys. So like, obviously there have been so many ups and downs, not just through your motherhood journey, through everybody's motherhood journey, mm-hmm. but is there anything that you can look back on and be like, that was really, really challenging, but like, here's what I came out with?
I think for me, we've had like one guest that we talked about, you know, she having an only child. And I think what I struggle with is if this will be my only child, or if I will adopt, or if I will have another child. And so I think it's not, I've never had a challenge with my journey with Dylan in terms of, I mean, there's definitely challenges I have where I'm like, don't do that. But I think I go through what will be, like, I always want to make his life really filled. Mm-hmm. And that's like top of mind, right? So whether that's he's in a lot of classes, maybe I overschedule him, different types of classes, some on East, some downtown, some West Side, like just so he's filled always. And I do feel like I'm doing a good job with it, in the sense of like the friends and the moms who text me and like are like, recently, like, we really love Dylan, can he play with us in the park? Or and these all these moms have other kids, a second kid, so I'll probably cry today, because you know I have a sister and I'm totally gonna cry, guys. Here we go. Phineas wanted it. And you know, we're really close, and I don't, you know, I haven't let go of if I will have another child or not.
And you want him to have that close relationship, right?
And he does. He has it with all of his friends, and his cousins.
Yeah.
My sister lives across the street, so I'm very lucky. I have nieces and nephews that range from 17 to 11. And, you know, I have a great network of friends and family and work friends with kids. And we surround his life with that. And that's what I had. Like, you know, we had great dinners on Friday because we celebrate Shabbat and we bring our friends from all walks of life together. And he sees that and he loves it and appreciates it. So I think that's just my journey in terms of my challenge. Like, will I be a mom of just one?
What is going to make that decision for you?
Oh, there's so many variables. You know, seeing I work a lot. I own my own business. My husband does too. And deciding if, you know, we want to do that together. And if, you know, if I can have another kid, it took me 2 years to have Dylan. I definitely am interested in adopting. It's something that I've always been interested in. So there might be a time that we do that when we're on the same page of if we're ready for that. I think I'm definitely more ready than my husband in mm-hmm. terms of that. It's great to see that I do think he's fulfilled. And like a lot of the struggle that I go through is it because I had a sister and a sibling and I know how great that is? And I want that for him, or is like, there's so many different things I go through. So
of course.
I don't know, the deciding factor, there'll have to be one
mm-hmm.
and I keep pushing it out and we both keep pushing it out a little bit. So I don't know. And it's really amazing, like, to be part of this podcast and be able to hear all everybody's stories, from going from 2 to 3, from 1 to 2, to having some who only had one. And everybody's shown us that they love what they're doing either way, right? I don't know if I'll ever be content with just one, but I am content because he does fulfill me.
Yeah.
So.
But I definitely, like, I sense it in you that it's a struggle.
It's a struggle, yeah. So I've never voiced that on here. But you asked the question and here it comes and we haven't had a one-on-one. But I'm very, very grateful with like all the surrounding friends and families that like are really, they want to be with Dylan. They want to be with us. It's like I'm very lucky with that. And that I do feel like he's fulfilled.
Yeah. Of course he's fulfilled. You know, he has loving parents. I think that.
He does talk about Jack the Fish being his brother, though. So if Jack the Fish passes away, we need a beta fish stat.
You need like a supply.
Like
in your
a supply right there. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so I don't think I have my. I don't really have the journey struggle of, things that I'm going through with him that I feel are like I feel that's more my struggle. Like I know there's a lot of parents who are probably going through that too. And I'd love to hear from them, on the decision to have another child.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big decision.
It's a big decision. And you went through it and you together probably as a family wanted to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that I wanted 2 girls, to be honest. Not that I had any control over that.
And you got it.
But, you know, I did a lot of like
upside down.
Yeah, like old ladies' tales or whatever, old wives' tales. Like I did all of that, whatever I need to do. And
did you read the book where it was like, if you put your legs up?
Oh, yeah. No, I did all
of that. Because my sister-in-law just had a boy. And she was trying to read, to do something to do that. But I'm like, I promise you, you're going to love your boy.
Yeah, I mean, boys are great. But, you know.
I am a mom of a boy, which I never thought I'd be a mom of a boy. And I'm super happy about it. I can't imagine.
He's a very sweet boy.
He's a good boy. We like him.
I think that it's something that I've spoken like pretty extensively about on my Instagram. But when I had Madeline, 2 weeks later, I had a postpartum hemorrhage and I lost half of the blood in my body. And basically, I was in and out of consciousness and Eric had to call an ambulance. And I was this much blood from death.
Think we ever talked about this.
Yeah, let me start from there. So basically what happened was I was having this weird bleeding after I had Madeline, my first baby. So for any moms who just had a baby, if you're bleeding weird, go see your doctor. I went to see my doctor and they took my hemoglobin and it was like at an 8 and your normal hemoglobin is at 12. So like a good way to look at it is just how much blood you have in your body. So I had already lost about a quarter of the
this
blood.
This is 2 weeks after you had
2 weeks after. But after they checked me out of the hospital, they sent me home. 2 days later, I had another huge hemorrhage.
Oh my God.
And I was on the, so I was feeling really dizzy. So I was laying on the floor of our bathroom, I remember. And Eric went out to grab like medication that I had been prescribed. And he came back and I was just in like a pool of blood and unconscious. So he freaked out. I was like, anyway, so this is a very long story to get to the point of where my challenge was. So I had been so committed to breastfeeding. This is like probably not the turn you were expecting.
No.
I was so committed to breastfeeding, but if you lose half the blood in your body, your breast milk disappears.
Oh man.
So to get my breast milk back, I basically fed Madeline every 30 minutes. And anytime she was sleeping, I was wearing a pump as a backpack on my back and like literally pumped constantly. But at that point, she had been on a bottle for so long, she didn't want to latch because she was like, why am I going to suck on this nipple that has no milk coming from it
mm-hmm.
when I can just drink a bottle?
Right.
So we used to do this bait and switch where I would like put a pacifier in her mouth and then swap it out for my nipple. And like, It took me a month to get my milk back. And it took me a month to convince her to actually nurse, which is why I nursed her for 16 months, which I have talked about. But like,
which, right. You never told me the back story of it.
It took so much work to get to a point where
how long were you in the hospital after the second?
2 days. And so I was away from her also. She's 2 weeks old. Like, I felt horrible. I mean, I can't even explain to you the guilt that I felt. Which,
did you have postpartum, you think?
No. This was like a very specific, I am away from my baby. I'm supposed to be feeding her.
Yeah.
And then after I got home, like, it was pure determination, right?
Like, right. I'm going to do this.
This is what I'm going to get done. And I think it showed me, like, as difficult, and Eric still won't talk about it to this day because it was extremely, it wasn't as traumatic for me because I don't remember any of it because I was passed out. But he won't tell you this story because he just like doesn't want to talk about it. But what I realized through all of this was like, it doesn't matter what I need to do for my kids. Like, I'm going to do it because mm-hmm. that month was truly hell. It was just like, I've never been so focused on anything in my life. And I hate pumps. Like, to this day, I see a breast pump, I'm like, oh.
You did show me that awesome new pump that I didn't
see. The Freemi.
Yeah,
the one. If only that was around when I like was going through this.
I mean,
just, like, wear it.
Right.
Yeah, and it's then like, tiny.
It was amazing.
But no, I was like carrying around the Medela, the giant. And I got the hospital grade pump to like.
I did that.
And do you know what happens if you pump for too long? Your nipple like explodes and bleeds all over the place. Just another like little cautionary tale for everybody.
And did that happen?
Yeah, but they can still drink whatever comes out because it's just blood. Apparently, that's what the pediatrician said.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was like I think that more than anything, it showed me, first of all, that, like I said in the beginning of the episode, we're all back at zero, right? Like, it didn't matter
mm-hmm.
what I had accomplished in my life. Like, I couldn't feed my baby and I had to figure out how.
And you did it. How like, amazing
like,
is that?
Thank God. I mean, it was just...
Because a lot of people can't do that, you know, but you did have determination and you just were on a mission. And I think that is something that as a mom, if you really feel it inside, you can accomplish anything.
And it can be about anything. There are people who choose to formula feed. I have nothing against that.
I know, but yeah. That's what you wanted to
do.
Yeah,
it's just what I wanted to do. Yeah. And I think like, you know, 4 years from now, if she like really wants to, I don't know, be a gymnast, like I will have the wherewithal to like deal with all the, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what stage of life they're in. As moms, I think we are stronger than we think.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go through more than we expected to be able to go through.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, we want to thank everybody. We want to thank you all for sticking with us through these seasons and for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't. Please also rate us some stars if you can.
And thank you to our sponsor of today's episode, Super Soccer Stars.
Come and try a class or camp with Super Soccer Stars this summer and spring. For our listeners only, use the promo code MOMSGOTSOCCER and save $25 off any class or camp where Super Soccer Stars takes direct enrollment. Make sure you guys hurry because this offer is only good for the month of March. and just see how much your kids will learn and grow while having endless fun. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you so much. Next time. Yeah.